Jesus Christ has the dexterity of a surgeon. He has the mental gymnastics of a scientist. He is that mighty prophet of God who has the mighty words of eternal life. And in his preaching and teaching, there was a vitality and an energy in his preaching and teaching. And one day, he stood at the great feast and cried, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What a Savior we have. To be able to say, if you drink from him, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I want to say this morning, Lord, give me some of that water. Can you say amen to that? Lord, give me some of that living water. You have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the book of Titus. The chapter is 3 and the verse is number 8. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for an excellent job done in leading the hymns today. I want to thank Brother Brandon Harris for the super job he continues to do. Brother Trey Foster for a tremendous reading of the scripture. And Brother Milton for a wonderful prayer to our Lord and Savior and our Father which art in heaven. Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. Have that say amen. Well, let me ask again. You have it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, careful, careless, or clueless. I want to say it again. Careful, careless, or clueless. Science tells us what is. Religion and theology tells us what ought to be. Religion claims to have everlasting consequences on people's lives. And as a result, religion makes an everlasting difference. Religion doesn't just matter now. Religion matters forever. Amen. This message today is about the equipping of the mind. Because in order to live life successfully and to meet the challenges and demands of life, our minds must be equipped. And if we're going to maximize our moments, our minds must be equipped. If we're going to maximize our lives, our minds must be equipped. And these three words, careful, careless, or clueless, describe states of mind. And I'm convinced that everyone in the world today, lives or life can be characterized by these three words. Either we're living lives that are careful, we're living lives that are careless, or we're even living lives that are clueless. Amen. Now, as we share this message today, the sermon divides nicely into three concepts or three ideas. I want to talk about number one, careful. Secondly, I want to talk about careless. And thirdly and finally, I want to talk about clueless. Careful, careless, and then clueless. The word careful means, from the dictionary, it means to give close attention to accuracy or detail. It means to take reasonable care to avoid risk. Now, the word careful, as used in our text in Titus 3:8, the theological or the Greek word, means to think or to consider. It means careful thought. Now, in the text, Titus 3:8, Paul states this as a faithful or trustworthy saying. Here's a saying today everybody here should accept. Everybody here should be open and receptive to this trustworthy or dependable saying. And he is urging all teachers of the gospel, he's urging all preachers of the gospel to constantly bring these things to the minds of God's people. He's telling the teachers and the preachers to insist upon these things and help people to be careful. If you believe in God, if you believe in God, then you must be careful to maintain good works. If you believe in God, if you're a true believer in God, then you got to live a life that is characterized by carefulness. That is, we have to give attention to the things that we need to really pay attention to. Amen. Now, there are some reasons why we should be careful. And the first reason we should be careful is because Jesus Christ, our Lord, the exciting, the everlasting, the uplifted, the exalted name of Jesus has left us an example. And that example is, he's left us an example that we should be careful to do good. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he speaks about his mission. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The Lord himself lived a life of carefulness. He was careful to do good. If we're going to follow him, we must be careful to do good. There's a second reason we should follow his example, and that is because of his once for all priceless sacrifice. Look at Titus 2 and verse 14. It says, "Because Jesus has died for our sins." Can you say amen to that? It says in this verse, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." Iniquity is lawless deeds. "And that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Jesus died to create people that are eager and enthusiastic about doing good. If you understand the meaning of the Lord's death for you, and you matter to the Lord. Amen. You know, Brother Jess and I, we joke sometimes. I said, "Brother, it's all about you." He said, "No, it ain't about me." I said, "Yes, this is about you because Jesus died for you." And then he flipped the script. He says, "It's about you too, because he died for you," and he's absolutely right. But the Lord died for us to create. Jesus creates new people. Jesus creates people who look at life differently. He creates people that are eager and enthusiastic to do good works. Amen. Now, what does a life of carefulness look like? Well, Jesus Christ is our, in a sense, he's our personal coach. Anybody need some coaching this morning? We all could use a little coaching, couldn't we? And that's a new concept not only in sports, it's a new concept in performance strategies. People are using coaching. We all need somebody to look at us and give us honest and objective information about how we're doing. Well, Jesus Christ is our personal coach, and he moves us from psychological confusion to psychological clarity. He moves us from psychological powerlessness to psychological empowerment. He moves us. He's interested in my liberation. He's interested in my confirmation. He's interested in my empowerment. And as a result, he coaches me and tells me, be careful to maintain good works. A life of carefulness is a life, watch this, that every day is moving toward heaven. Every day your life is moving toward heaven. Amen. Well, what does a life like that look like? Brother Hillary, let's go to Titus 2:11. Let me show you what a life like that looks like. It's a life that every day is moving toward heaven. Titus 2:11-12 says what, Brother Hillary?
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation.
The grace of God that brings salvation.
Hath appeared to all.
Hath appeared unto all.
Teaching us that.
And grace teaches us that every day your life ought to be moving toward heaven. You shouldn't be moving away from heaven. Because every day we live, that's one less day we've got. I don't want to be negative or pessimistic, but I want to be realistic. And every day we live, we're moving closer to our destiny. And so we have to be careful. He said what, Brother? Here, read it.
Teaching us that.
Teaching us that.
Denying ungodliness.
Denying ungodliness.
And worldly lust.
And worldly lust.
We should live soberly.
So you got to be careful. It's a lot of stuff come at you. A lot of lust come at you. Ungodliness and worldly lust. Read.
We should live soberly.
We should live soberly. Righteous. A life of carefulness is a life characterized by soberness. You know, you can be drunk and ain't had a drop of whiskey. Hello. You can be drunk on just intoxicating thoughts. Sober. Read.
Righteously.
Righteously.
And godly.
And godly.
In this present world.
In this right now, 2012. February the 12th. Every day, if the Lord let me see tomorrow, I ought to be moving toward heaven. I ought to be praying toward heaven. I ought to be setting my affections on things above. Because what if it profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? So either I'm living a life that is characterized by carefulness. And of course, if I'm living a life characterized by carefulness, then I am aware, I am vigilant, and I'm sober because there's an enemy. He's stalking me, he's stalking you. And he's seeking whom he may devour. So as a result, I need to be careful. If I believed in God, you believe in God? If you believe in God, you got to be careful. Paul said, insist upon this. I want you to affirm this constantly, that the people who have believed in God, be careful. Pay attention to detail to maintain good works. Here's a second idea. Carelessness. Now, the word carelessness defined is really just the opposite or the antithesis of careful. And to be careless means to not pay close attention to accuracy or detail. To be careless means to disregard things we ought to be thinking about. And some people, when it comes down to their salvation, they're careless. But let me tell you that being careless is dangerous. And being careless will lead us on the road to doom. We have to understand that. Is that all right? And so we can't afford to be careless. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the thing we've heard, lest at any time we should let them. You know why we let them slip, brothers and sisters? We're being careless. Lest at any time we should let them slip. For it's the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression receive a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape? Now look at that tape. How shall we escape? Escape what? The wrath of God. Amen. Only two possibilities all of us face. Either we're going to face the salvation of God or the wrath of God. And the only way to escape the wrath of God, you must embrace the salvation of God. Amen. Because the Bible lets us know that there is no escaping God. I know Osama bin Laden ran for 10 years, but Obama got Osama. Is that all right? Just took Barack to get in there and handle his business. Is that right? Amen. But you know, there is no escaping from God. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, whether shall I flee from your spirit? Or whether shall I go from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall hold me and thy right hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the night will cover me, even the night shall be light about thee. The night and the day shineth alike unto God. There is no escaping from God. The only way I can escape from God is run to that man who's described by Isaiah. He said, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You better run to Jesus. Be careful. And don't neglect this great salvation. Because if you neglect it, the only thing left for you is wrath. Amen. And you can't escape. Sort of like the man, I heard this story about this millionaire, billionaire, was trying to outrun death. Was sick on his deathbed and trying to outrun death. Got on his supersonic plane, took off. That plane rose into the sky on steel wings, swooped across lakes and lands. But guess what happened? While that plane was in mid-flight, death caught it and took him away. Which show you can't escape God. So the wise thing for us to do is not be careless about our great salvation. You see, some people like to gamble. Now I know ain't no folks here gambling in this church. Hello? Well, preacher, I thought about going to Atlanta, getting me a lottery ticket. And if I win, I'm going to get the church half of it. And then we're going to have to baptize that money before we can use it. Y'all looking at me strange, ain't you? Amen. Some people like the rush. They like the rush of gambling. Amen. They like to push the proverbial envelope. Amen. Some people are playing, you know, some people are playing Russian roulette. You ever seen them play Russian roulette where they have a revolver and they unload all of the chambers? And you put one bullet in one chamber and you spin it. And you click it in place. And then you put it to your head. And you click it. And you hoping before you click it, it ain't the loaded chamber. Because if it's a loaded chamber, you're going to blow your brains out. Is that right? Some people, when it comes down to their spiritual destiny, they like to gamble. Weren't we all shocked with Whitney leaving us on yesterday? Such a gift to sing. Now gone at 48. Just lets me know this book is right. We can ignore this at our own peril. It's right. And it cannot be wrong. Is that all right? But some people like, but the Bible warns us. There are some people who say, I'm going to get it together. I know I ain't living right. But one of these days, preacher, I'm going to get it together. Only thing about that is, which day? And you don't know what the days are. Just because you're looking good and smelling good and sounding good today, there's no guarantee that's going to be the same way on tomorrow. Is that correct? So the Bible warns us about the danger of being careless. Example of, you know, even the parents of Jesus were careless. Did you know that? Joseph and Mary were careless with Jesus. Let's go to Luke 2:41, Brother Hillary. To about verse 49. Let's do this quickly. Luke 2:41. Let's see what it say. What does it say, Brother Hillary?
Now his parents went to Jerusalem.
Parents went to Jerusalem.
Every year at the feast of the Passover.
Every year at the feast of the Passover.
And when he was 12 years old.
When he was 12 years old.
They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
All right, read.
And when they had fulfilled the days.
Come on.
As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in
Jerusalem. They were getting ready to leave. You ever just gone anywhere and thought your child was in the car? I know you ain't going to tell it today. Amen. But you weren't careful enough. Mary and Joseph. Let's see what happens here. Read it.
And Joseph and his mother knew not of it.
And Jesus was not in the company, Wanda. And Mary and Joseph were not aware of it. Is that what you said, Brother Hiller?
Yes.
Read, brother.
But they, supposing him to have
there
been
is,
in the
they
company,
supposed. It's bad to write checks and suppose you got money. And them babies bounce clean over the bank. That's a problem, man. Supposing, or it's bad to think you got insurance coverage and you don't have it. Amen. Read, Brother Hillary.
Supposing him to have been in the company.
Suppose him to have been in the company.
Went a day's journey.
They went a day's journey. And do you not know they took 3 days before they found him? Did you know that? What would you do if you lost your child for 3 days? You'd be climbing the wall, wouldn't you? Would you be a basket case? Or would you say, I'm sure glad he's gone. Hope he don't come back. You wouldn't say that, would you? Would you? You wouldn't say that. Read, Brother Hiller, what does it say?
And they sought him amongst their kinsfolk.
They sought, first of all, they figured he may have been among the kin people. Now, if your child was lost, what would you look for him? Down to Platinum? Oh, excuse me. If he was missing, where would you find him? Something to think about it. Read, Brother Hillary.
And when they found him not.
And when they found him not.
They turned back again to Jerusalem.
They went back to Jerusalem. Sometimes you have to retrace your steps. Read, Brother Hillary.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
That after 3 days.
After 3 days, Brother Wynn, 3 days, that child was lost. Because they supposed that he had been among them. Amen. And when they found him, where did they find him, Brother Hillary?
They found him in the temple.
They found him. They found him in the temple.
Sitting in the midst
they
of the doctors.
They found him in the temple. Sitting among the doctors and the lawyers. Read, Brother Hillary.
Both hearing them.
He was hearing them at 12 years. He was precocious, Ron. He was beyond his years. Read.
And asking them questions.
And he was hearing them and asking them questions. And let's see what happens.
And all that heard him were astonished.
And all that heard this 12-year-old God child were astonished.
At his understanding.
At his understanding and his answers.
And when they saw him.
And when they saw him.
They were amazed.
They were amazed.
And his mother said unto
him. And his mother got on him.
Son.
Son.
Why hast thou thus dealt
with him? Why did you? But really, the problem wasn't Jesus. The problem was them. Because they supposed that he was in the company. That right? And they went a day's journey, and it took 3 days. And finally, after they retraced their steps, they found him sitting in the temple talking with the doctors and the law. And of course, there's been time in all of our lives here today that we've been careless. Look at Titus 3:6. Let's do this quickly. Titus 3:6. We've been careless. Have you been careless with your spiritual life? You always live right? Have you had excursions into the far country? Anybody still out there? It's time to come home now, isn't it? Read, Brother Hillary. 3:6 says what?
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our
Savior. I'm sorry, 3:6?
3:6.
That's 3:6. Titus 3:6.
That's 3:6.
Read it, what does it say?
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace.
No, that ain't what I want. I want the part that said we were sometimes foolish. What verse is that?
Nah.
Well, you knew that's what I wanted. You knew I ain't want 6. Why you way over there? Because that's what I told you, ain't it? That's what I told you, ain't it?
Exactly.
That's my fault. Come on, what is it say?
But avoid foolish questions.
We were sometime foolish.
And genealogies.
No, that's not what I want. We were sometime, the verse before that, what does that say?
This is a faithful saying, mm-hmm. And these things I will that thou affirm uh-huh. constantly, uh-huh. that they which have believed in God might be
no,
careful.
No, I don't want that either. What verse, is that verse 3? What you doing way down there then?
Foolish in there?
Foolish in there? Well, okay, I don't want 9. Give me 3. What 3 say? We'll get it.
For we ourselves.
We ourselves.
Also were sometimes foolish.
Were sometimes thoughtless. Read, Brother Hillary.
Disobedient.
We were stubborn. Y'all been stubborn? Hello? Amen. Stubborn. Come on.
Deceived.
Deceived.
Serving divers lusts.
Serving divers lusts.
And pleasures.
And pleasures.
Living in malice and envy.
Living. Hating folks, trying to hurt folks, that's being careless. Read.
Hateful.
Hateful. Drinking Haterade.
And hating.
Instead of lemonade. Drinking Haterade instead of Gatorade. Drinking Haterade instead of Limeade. Is that all right? Read.
And hating one another.
And hating one another.
But after that.
But after that.
The kindness and love of our God, our
and we
Savior.
Sang a song. I once was lost in sin. Can you say amen to that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I once was lost in sin, Whitney. But Jesus took me in. Can you say amen to that? I once was actually lost in sin. But Jesus took me in. I ain't always live right. Have you? Trying to live right now? Trying to be careful? Song we sing, careless soul. Why do you linger? Wandering from the fold of God. Hear you not the invitation? Or prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul. Your life will soon be gone. Are you listening? And oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm not careful, I will not be prepared to meet thy God. Here's the final thought, clueless. Clueless means incompetent or ignorant. Amen. And there are some people who are clueless about what life is all about. They don't know where I came from, why I'm here, or where I'm going. You ever think about that? If you don't think about where you came from, you think you came from evolution? You think you came from slime or the sublime? Some people say they came from a monkey, but no monkey is a relative of mine. Is that all right? I got divinity in me. I'm a child of God. God has made me just a little lower than the angels. You got to think about where you came from. Well, I came from my mom and dad. Well, but where your mom and daddy come from? Well, they came from their mom and dad. Where they come from? Well, they come from their mom and dad on the auntie, sister, child side, grandma's side. Well, where did they come from? And you trace it all the way back and you find a God in the garden. Scooping up some dust, forming and shaping man's body and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And this great God looked around and said, it was not good that this man should be alone, so I'm going to make him a helpmeet. So he put him to sleep and gave him some anesthesia and took from his side a rib and made a woman. And that's where all people came from. But why are you here? Why are you here? And where are you going? Some people ain't got a clue about why they're here. What's really important? What should we really be doing while we're here? Amen? And where are we going? Some people are clueless when it comes down to that. Let me give you some examples of people being clueless, and we're going to close. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, the people were clueless. They were standing around at the foot of that cross. They had no idea what was going on. They had no idea who was on the cross in the middle. Because Brother Trey Foster read so beautifully, if they had known, they were clueless. If they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they were just killing another man, but something bigger than that was happening. God was reconciling the world. God was saving the world. God was sacrificing his son so that Lance could be saved and Damian could be saved. But if they had known it, they were clueless. They would have not crucified. You ever just done some things that you said, if I had known better, At that time, you were clueless. Come on, y'all. Is that all right? Some people still clueless. Then the rich fool in Luke 12 was clueless. His barns exploded with, rather his fields exploded with fertility and productivity. And he had so much, he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build some bigger barns. But he was clueless because God said, he said, I got stuff for many years. God said, you're clueless because you're gonna die tonight. Is that all right? I don't know when I'm going to die, but I ought to live like I could die any moment. And that's a fact. I don't know when I'm going to die, so I should live like, I could die in an accident. Sudden illness, unforeseen, unpredicted illness can come and strike me down. Is that all right? I could be the victim of a driver. Brother Moss, you're just being so negative. I'm just being real. And some people are clueless that after you die, there's a judgment. After you die, there's a judgment. And all the stuff you gain, you can't take it with you. Careful, careless, or clueless. And let me give you this as we close. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible said they exchanged something. I want to give you 7 things they exchanged. I want you to write these down. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They made 7 bad exchanges because they were clueless. 7 bad exchanges because they were clueless. Number 1, they exchanged the natural for the unnatural. Homosexuality is the natural for the unnatural. Amen. They change light for darkness. And this is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and if you don't know what this Bible teaches, you're clueless. Hello, y'all. Is that all right? They exchange wisdom for foolishness. Wisdom for foolishness. They exchange glory for dishonor. Glory because they dishonored themselves. Amen. They exchange sound judgment for reprobateness. That is, you keep making bad decisions, you will soon lose the ability to make a good decision. Hello? You got to make good decisions. Number 6, they exchange the truth for a lie. Isn't that something? They exchange the truth for a lie. And number 7, they exchange clarity for confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And as I close, there are some people in Birmingham, Alabama, who are clueless about what they must do to be saved. Amen. I imagine if you would ask people all over the city of Birmingham, go to all these different churches and ask them, sir, could you tell me what I must do to be saved? You get all kind of answers. Like when they said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are one of the prophets. And there are some people in Birmingham, not only in Birmingham, in the United States of America, and not only in the United States of America, all over the world, don't understand or are clueless about the church that Jesus built, the one you can read about in the Bible. Yeah. Is that all right? And there are some people who are clueless about how to worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't sing with instruments, mechanical instruments of music in the churches of Christ, because it is our understanding and our conviction and belief. There is no biblical authority to do so. Whatever you do in God's house, you got to have permission to do it. Is that all right? You ever heard about only authorized vehicles belong to this point? If your vehicle ain't authorized, you shouldn't be on that point. Is that correct? And in God's house, there was one preacher who said, he said it didn't matter with the Lord's Supper whether you had Sprite and Coca-Cola and Pork Chop. I disagree. Because you have no biblical authority. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how you're saved, and we'll conclude. You're saved by hearing the gospel, the good news, the euangelion about Jesus, how he died upon the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary that you might be saved. You have to believe that with all of your heart, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that good news? You have to repent of your sin. Acts 17, that at the time the thing with God went there, but now he commandeth all men everywhere too. You must confess the sweetest name to roll from mortal tongue. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue must confess that. Jesus, hallelujah, is Lord to the glory. And I don't mind calling him Lord, because he's my Lord. God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. I don't want to be clueless about Jesus. I know he's my only hope. And then you have to be immersed or baptized in water. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. For the remission of sin. And the Lord then adds you to the church you can read about in the Holy Bible. I tried to tell you this morning that being careful is important. Church, I want to encourage every member here, be careful to maintain good works. Work out your own salvation. Don't neglect it. Hello? Don't neglect it. Put God first in your life. Is that right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God is more important than your job. Well, that's who paid my check. I said God is more important than your job, because God owned all jobs. Is that all right? God is more important than your family, because God gave you a family. Is that all right? Nothing is more important than the Lord. So be careful to maintain good works, and carelessness brings about doom. And cluelessness means you can't deal with the real issues of life. But if you're careful, you can say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. For no other help I know. Oh Lord, if you withdraw yourself from me, oh, whether shall I go? Is that all right? I know if anybody can help me to be careful, it's the Lord. Is that all right? Oh, I know if anybody can help me, Sister Smith, not to be careless, it's the Lord. Is that all right? Well, I know if anybody can help me not to be clueless, it's the Lord. Is that all right? For who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who have been his counselor? Who have first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Is that all right? For of him and to him and through him all things. Is that all right? It's the Lord who tells me to give the more earnest heed to the things I heard. Is that all right? It's the Lord who tells me to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Is that all right? It's the Lord who tells me I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Is that all right? And when you're careful, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Is that all right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Lord, because thou art with me. Is that all right? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Then I like it for surely. Oh, I like this for surely. I like this for surely. I don't think y'all heard me. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to do what? Dwell. I'm going to dwell where? In the house. I'm going to be careful to dwell where? In the house of the Lord. Forever. Is that all right? I ain't going to be running in and out of here because I might get caught out there. Is that all right? I'm going to stay with the Lord. Is that all right? Because the Lord has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I tell you, he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. He's a way maker and a strength giver. Is that all right? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures under all generations. Is that all right? Aren't you glad about that? Would you stand on your feet? That's the message. And I hope this morning that if you've been careless, I think it was Johnny Taylor who said, we're getting careless. I know y'all knew it. What he said, we're getting careless with our love. Didn't he say that? Oh, I ain't got that record. I know you don't. That's why you was playing it when you pull up. JT, or else are we getting careless? We got any JT fans in here? See that? There you go. You know Johnny Taylor said, we getting careless. You can't get careless with your love. Huh? Well, let's give a message to all the married folk. I know Valentine's Day is Tuesday. Brother Milton already gave y'all a warning. Now you're down to 2 days. This a leap year? What that mean? Wanda said nothing. Don't y'all fall for that leap year stuff, Carnell. Well, it's a leap year. I know it. But you better make sure. The last time I checked, Winn-Dixie still got a lot of stuff down there. And don't you be careless. Amen. While I'm talking, I better make sure. Me and you both, Brother Milton. Amen. And we shouldn't be careless with our salvation. So I ask you a question. Are you careless? Careful, careless, or I hope everyone here is careful, not careless, and not clueless. Amen. And when you have the right situation, you can say, yes, I am learning to be. Every day I'm learning, I'm a learning to be. Yes, I am learning, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, you know that I'm fine, I'm a finding more power. Oh, Lord, than I ever dreamed. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to lean.